Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater. That's Dan Kinnis. And Dan, it is now summer. I think most schools are out now. Mm-hmm. It's certainly warm enough to be summer. Do you have any plans for the upcoming months? Anything you're planning on doing this summer?
Yeah. We always enjoy the summer. Our kids are still pretty young, so they're, of course, having fun outside doing things. We have some sporting things they do. They do, like, camps, you know, in the summer for different sports and that. But we usually spend a little time at the Wisconsin Dells with my in-laws and that side of the family. And that's always fun, just some time in the water and outside and just hanging out with family. So, and, yeah, we'll probably do some of that just more, what do you call it, less organized or non-planned with my side of the family, too, over the course of the summer. So, yeah, I don't know. When you're in Michigan, right, you have to take advantage of these months where the air and the water is warm and you can get out and do things. So, I don't know, Austin, you got any fun plans?
Oh, I got too many. my family, my youngest brother is graduating high school. He still lives in Kenya, so we're going back actually for his graduation next month. And we'll spend some time in Kenya, Uganda, and then a little bit of a midway stop in Croatia on the Mediterranean, somewhere we've never been, but are very excited to be. So, yeah, it's exciting. And summer is obviously looking different, especially because of some of our travel. So a little housekeeping about the podcast that I'd like to get into. During July, we will be doing our morning services outside, like we've been doing the last several years. It's super cool. I'm super excited for it. I'm going to miss most of it because I'm going to be overseas. So we're actually not going to be recording Deeper during the month of July. So if you were super looking forward to listening to it, like on a road trip, I'm very sorry. You can listen to old episodes, I guess.
They're there.
They're there, but we won't be doing any new content then. We'll be picking back up in August. Also, in the fall, probably September, maybe a little earlier, maybe a little later, depending on how long it takes to get things going, we're going to debut a new video recording of the podcast. It'll be posted on YouTube and our website. You'll be able to watch us actually, like, sit and talk through it. We're still going to record the audio-only portion. But for those of you who are more visual, who like to see us, who would like to see the crazy faces I make or Dan makes when I say something and he's like, where am I going with this? that'll be a new avenue for you to enjoy. We're very excited for that, and we'll keep you posted about that as we get closer. But Dan, let's talk about what we're here to talk about. What did we learn on Sunday?
Yeah, this past Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and so we talked a lot about the Holy Spirit and the incredible gift God gives to us by pouring out His own Spirit upon us and into us as His children. And we, of course, thought a little bit about Acts 2, which is, of course, connected well to Pentecost and that first real outpouring, very powerful and visible outpouring there. But our primary text was way back in Genesis 11, and we talked about why, because it gives a backdrop to how significant it is what God is doing in the sending of His Spirit, just how that story of Babel or Babel gives a picture of how lost we are in our sin and our communication with God, our relationship with Him, how that filters to our conversation and relationship with each other as human beings, and to see things turning back in the right direction at Pentecost. And Jesus' work, of course, is what opens the door to that, but the Holy Spirit is the one who brings that home, so to speak. And we see a different speech now. We're talking the language of the gospel again, and we can hear it and believe it in a new way and be empowered to share that. So, yeah, just kind of seeing that backdrop and how God is bringing about this new creation, as it were, through His Holy Spirit. So, yeah, it's good and significant to spend time talking about this incredible gift. It's kind of like Easter. At least I felt that way as a pastor trying to communicate, whereas Easter, Christmas is the same. I always feel, how can I possibly give proper voice and words to this event, what God has done? And maybe we don't always think of Pentecost that way, but we should. This is an incredible thing that God is doing and has done and giving us His Spirit. So I felt that inadequacy of trying to talk about this incredible gift and give it what it's due.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is such a fundamental reshaping of our faith lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, prior to Pentecost, the Spirit was in the temple or in the tabernacle. You know, it was something we did not have that necessarily direct access that we do. So it's such a fundamental reshaping that, yeah, there's so much in here that it's hard to do proper diligence to. And I found that as I was looking through and trying to figure out what are we going to talk about today, because I'm like, man, there's like 85 different things that I'd love to hit here.
Yeah.
And so trying to keep it a little narrower and focused was a fun challenge. It's a good challenge when I'm like, we could go any different direction with this. But I wanted to chat a little bit about a few specific phrases that you used and just unpack those a little bit more. First off, one thing you said was that was that our desire for unity is broken based on fear and force. And we went through a few specific ways that looks like. And one specific element was the fear of, quote unquote, being scattered to the ends of the earth. On the one hand, this actually makes a lot of sense to be a fear from people in that era, because they didn't know what the ends of the earth looked like. Like, their ends of the earth was like the Middle East,
the
general
end of town
area.
Right.
Right. Like, it's like there's this joke where, you know, this ancient king would conquer two hamlets and be like, I'm king of the world.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, that is, especially for those of us now, you know, that is spoken in total opposition of the Great Commission. Where we are called to go to the ends of the earth. And even we talked about during the service, like, they were already kind of given that directive.
Sure.
And it really indicates a strong lack of trust in the unfamiliar and in God's provision during the unfamiliar, when things seem strange and foreign to us. Though we live in a world that is now really well mapped, like, we do know what's physically out there, do we still see this attitude in our modern day?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that fear of, you know, or fear of the uncomfortable, maybe. You know, I think that is true. We have much more knowledge of what's out there, quote unquote, but it doesn't mean we are comfortable going out there. And everybody's different on that, too. You know, even in biblical times, back in that day, if you were more of a, you know, outskirts of town person, right? You were more in agriculture, you had animals. Well, scattering makes sense. There's only, I need grass, you need grass, we need to spread out. Whereas if you're more of the urban one, it's kind of like, let's stay within the walls. That's safe, right? And so two people might have completely different views on what that means. And I think we know that's still true today as far as that's concerned. But you're right, Austin, that just the discomfort with what's maybe out there. And it's really, in the case of the context we're talking about scripturally, this trust, if God's leading, and now we're talking about the Holy Spirit leading us, well, we need to step out in faith. And it's so interesting that in Genesis 11, when we see the effect of sin and the problems going on there, that the people are scared of going out and being fruitful and multiplying and filling the earth. They're afraid of what that looks like. Let's come together. Let's stay secure together. Let's make our own names great together. And they're afraid to do that. And then you go to the next chapter, and what does God ask Abram to do? He asks him to scatter, leave your town, go to a place. He doesn't even really tell him where. You're just going to go to a place far away, and he is willing to do that. And this is, we talk about the father of faith and all that for a reason. He trusts God in that, and he's willing to go out, right, into uncomfortable territory, even uncomfortable religion. We're, you know, see that Abram's really leaving kind of this paganism, idolatry, to follow the Lord. So now, again, for us, this call is not just like, hey, I'm looking for an adventure. Me and Austin, you know, we're looking to go to, you know, the ends of the earth as far as we're concerned. Might be a fun adventure, but that's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about God's leading, sometimes even just locally, to maybe go to someone or a place or a ministry or, you know, whatever it might be that is a stretch for us, feels like the end of the earth. This is so different for me and my normal routine and avenues. And so I feel that. I'm sure others do as well, that, you know, kind of stay in the safe place and be together with my people. You know, we think of the story of Tower of Babel or Babel, like the whole world. This is the whole world in one city. And I know it talks about one language, and we talked about, well, the language was just kind of the language of rebellion. It's hard to imagine, like, everybody in the world was in that city at that time. You know, it could have just been like, hey, here's the people that are like us. Let's just really get together. That's usually what we do.
Yeah.
And we still see that today, I think. And so that was kind of the point. You see those themes of coming together and going apart in the story in Genesis 11, but it's not right. And yet those things are good. It's not just like, well, see, we should never live in cities. No, that's not the point. You know, or like, yeah, you know, scatter bad, you know, or things that are different are bad. No, that's not. God made clearly a call for both, coming together, but with that uniqueness and diversity. So what does that look like in his name, in his purpose, versus, oh, it's not good here? So we're always battling still that sinful tendency of like coming together in ways that aren't healthy for us or God honoring, and then scattering in ways that are also opposite of what he intended. So, and that's maybe where you wanted to go next.
That is literally like almost exactly where I'd love to go next. So thanks for that transition, Dan, because again, one of the other key points we talked about was that our view of diversity is broken, especially under this Babel mindset and lifestyle, right? To use the phrase you used in the sermon, we think of ourselves as an island to our own. We put up walls mm-hmm. where they don't belong. And this is really something you can see throughout world history. You can see it throughout church history even. Like one of the more glaring examples of this that I was just thinking of was Bob Jones University, which is an evangelical Christian university that only in the year 2000, in my lifetime, said that it was okay for interracial couples to date, making their claims previous to that on biblical directives. It's a barrier that did not belong. But the phrase diversity that we mentioned earlier, it's really a hot-button word these days. I'm sure as you heard me talk about it, everyone was like, okay, where are we going with this?
Sure.
But especially in our faith context, it expands far beyond our quote-unquote simple diversity that we think of today. This is so much more than race, especially in a post-Pentecost world where we see all races, all tongues, all tribes, all financial situations worshiping the Lord together. As we said in the service, we're unified instead not by our external traits, but our identity as image bearers of God. But we still see these walls being put up. And even in our church sometimes, it's hard to see the image of God in people who are really not like us. So how do we go about unlearning this Babel-era mindset on diversity and encourage a more Pentecost-era approach, especially within the church?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a big one, of course, too. And yeah, acknowledging, like we said, we understand that this is a hot-button issue. And, you know, and it's something I wanted to bring up in the context of that sermon, because I think it's relevant to especially the Genesis 11 and Pentecost Acts 2 story. You see that coming together, and what does this look like in the context of the church? And I think we have to, as Christians, start with who God is. That's always the right place. We can talk about what this politician or that party, or you know, what I think about it. I saw this on social media, and there could be some truth or not to some of those things. But for us, we need to go to Scripture. We need to go to God. And in this case, we literally can go to God himself and see the basis for this, because God is three in one. Hard for us to understand, but there we're seeing this unity and diversity that is the foundation for who we are supposed to be, made in God's image, and how we're supposed to live. And so we talked about, as far as diversity is concerned in the story of Babel or Babel, what you see there is, on the one hand, confusion. We talked about that. God confused their language, and it's a confusion of like what needs to come together. And there's some of the mixing of the wrong things, right, that maybe aren't meant to be brought together. And we see it in the Old Testament as it goes along. A lot of God's laws are like, okay, you know, there is a way things are supposed to work. You can't just do whatever and bring things together. You can think about that with idolatry. You can't just take things that are wood and stone and creations and make them God, right? That's maybe the largest example of it, but there are others. On the other hand, you see the problem of division, right? We divide things that aren't meant to be divided. And of course, as the people scatter out and they become in conflict with each other, they're not living then in unity as they go out to these ends of the earth. They're now all fighting against each other, and that's not good either. And we see in God how it's meant to be, right? There's no confusion amongst the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are meant to be together, and they work in this beautiful symbiotic relationship, right, where you can hardly separate them out. And that's the other piece. They're not divided in any way. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And yet each of them have some uniqueness, which, again, it's hard for us mentally, humanly, to grab that. But that is the foundation for us. As we say, how do we bring together unity and diversity in our world? Clearly, God created, we mentioned that Genesis 1, male and female. Right there we see he's not made us all the same for good purpose. And yet we are called to, yeah, we see it in the marriage relationship, very close up, to become one. But that's how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to be like God as image bearers. And so when we start with that picture of who God is, and now we take that out to each other, and starting with, hey, everyone is made in the image of God, Some certainly are not acknowledging that now or trying to live in that direction. Yet, from our Christian standpoint, we know that's there, whether acknowledged or not. And I want to start there and think about, okay, we share something together right from the get-go. And then, of course, in the church, hey, we're believers in Christ, and we talk about his redemption and the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the biggest piece for us in our identity. So how do we start there and who we are? And then, yes, Austin and I are different, right? Different ages, different experiences, different interests and gifts. But how do we bring that together? And so often in this world, we highlight what is different. We try to rate what is better. Well, this gift is better than that gift. You know, if you think this way, it's better than that way. And instantly we start putting up walls that don't belong. And so we need to be very attentive to those things. And again, for us, going back to Scripture, because we live in a broken world, and we are doing sinful things at times, we're thinking in sinful ways. And so we can't just say like, oh yeah, everything, we just got to encompass everything together. Well, clearly that's not the case. We see a problem with that in Genesis 11. So there's times we're saying, yeah, well, we can't just be doing these things to each other. That's sinful. That's not loving each other. We can't just be like, well, that's fine. You're human too. We have to acknowledge sin when it's there and work against that. At the same time, we need to maybe be more aware of barriers that we comfortably put up. And sometimes without even thinking about it, you know, just, and sometimes it is just language things. Sometimes it is just cultural, you know, we're used to it. We're in a Christian Reformed church. There's a certain culture that's been, you know, honed over hundreds of years as part of this denomination. And there's not like bad in and of itself, but for someone else coming in, is there a wall there that shouldn't be? Or how do we honor the best parts of this tradition and the experiences and the stories so that someone else can share or add in now another strand to this story, right? That's what we want to be working on and following the lead of the Spirit in that. It goes with that piece we just talked about. Sometimes it means getting a little uncomfortable and the Spirit saying, you need to go here now. Mm-hmm. And I think we really see that in the book of Acts. Pentecost is great. Acts 2 and Peter, 3,000 people are believing and Jesus had clearly said you're going to go to the ends of the earth and then some Gentiles start believing. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, there's some issues here.
Well, what's going on? Like, you know, what's happening? And you can see it's not just easy for them, which is, I think, comforting for us. It wasn't easy for the first disciples either to see, oh, the Spirit's leading out. And Peter reports back and they say, well, I guess if these people received the Spirit too, you know, we shouldn't stand in the way of God. But it was a struggle. And so what we see there is still what we deal with today. And I think those kind of boundaries of setting up like, all right, what sinfully, like what do we have to be careful of in the church, right? As we follow God's word, what doesn't belong as far as being included in our life and how we're to be living? And again, Jesus, you know, sums that up with the command of love. But of course, there's many other passages in Scripture that teach us about this. And then on the other side, you know, what has sin put up that does not belong, that God is breaking down? And understanding that takes time. I understand we're still, you know, if you come to Friendship, we're not a perfected people yet. We're the saints of the Lord and Jesus Christ, but we're still on the way, under construction. And with that comes, you don't just say as a pastor or anybody else say like, hey, this is where the kingdom's going, so let's do that now. Sometimes it takes, like we see in Acts, like some work and some work together. And sometimes you just take a little step in that direction. And I believe, as I look at my life and the life of Friendship and other churches I've been a part of too, we have to acknowledge those steps. That's the work of the Spirit as well to say, hey, 30 years ago, we wouldn't have had that conversation. We would have just said, no, that's not us. But now we're talking about it, even if it's still like it takes us a while and we're a little slow and we still really want to do it our way. I think that's part of it. We live in a broken world. You know, you think of, you know, Germany, right? The Berlin Wall in my life, Austin's a little younger than me, but in my life, that was a huge event, right? But yeah, the wall came down fairly quickly, but things didn't just, oh yeah, now it's all changed overnight.
You still see it's actually fascinating if you look at like electoral results, you still see the division between the east and west of Germany. Then.
Sure. So I think for us, you know, Pentecost, it's an event that is chipping away at those walls mm-hmm. until the day Christ returns. So to be, yeah, gracious to ourselves. And then I think, and part of this to bring back to Austin's initial question, for us, it's claiming this terminology back to a Christian standpoint and a God-based standpoint of this is what diversity is as we're talking about it, you know, and what it means based on who God is, mm-hmm. and how we're coming together in his way, in his person, in his image. And he's leading that foray, particularly now the Holy Spirit. So I don't know if that got in. It's a very big question. Hopefully I didn't confuse it more. But,
I really appreciate that. And I think, again, it's so important to really, like, to dial back to what you pulled it back to, especially there at the end. Like, again, we are all made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And that's what, in our discussions, both culturally, but especially as Christians, like, that's what we should be going back to, is we are all image bearers of God.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we honor the image of God in each one of our neighbors? I think that's just such a core part of it.
Yeah. Well, and to believe that when we do that, even those, especially in the church, but even outside, like, that is tapping into who God is and his power. So it opens more space for him to work. Even if someone else, when I treat them in the way God intends them to be treated and made them, it opens the door for them maybe to see God's work. And, you know, again, a bigger purpose as we see it of what he's doing in the world. Doesn't mean it always happens that way. But I think there's, you know, we're tapping into the real power of God and how he created us to be, and the power of the Spirit,
yeah,
as we live that way.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it easy. But
no. But if it were easy, we'd have done it already.
Yeah.
And that's what
yeah.
the Spirit's here for.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Speaking of the Spirit, I would be entirely remiss to have an entire Sunday of Pentecost and not talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit more directly.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is such a... It's such a fascinating part of our faith,
mm-hmm.
That, again, like I was saying at the beginning, kind of completely reshapes how we live, how we interact. The way we interact with God is so foreign to people 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't know if they would have had the frame of mind to even comprehend how that would work. Mm-hmm. It was so game-changing. And the Holy Spirit works in really game-changing ways and in really different ways.
Mm-hmm.
We here in the CRC are a little less familiar with some of the more, like, overt actions of the Spirit. You know, we don't necessarily see a ton of people speaking in tongues or, like, a miraculous lay on hands healing necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But that same Spirit is indwelling us as well.
Mm-hmm.
And works in different ways in different people. And so I was wondering if you have any insight on how can we who generally are less used to the more overt actions of the Spirit come to see the Spirit working more frequently in our lives when that's not normal for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then to kind of add on to that, when the Spirit moves more subtly, how can we be aware of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those things might go hand in hand. I kind of tried to challenge toward the end of the sermon too, just for, we sang about it in some of the songs we sang in the service, just an increased awareness for us and looking for the Spirit's leading. And like Austin said, sometimes we only think of the very overt kind of ways. And we see that was still a struggle even early on in the church, right? Kind of like, oh, if you speak in tongues, well, you know you got the Spirit. Some of these other things, I don't know, but this for sure. And Paul corrects some of that to say, no, these are all gifts of the Spirit, the same Spirit as Austin said. And so for us, it's not just, you know, oh, we're going through life, it's a pretty normal day. We should be looking. How is the Spirit working? Was this the Spirit's work to bring about this conversation or to lead this person to come here? That, I think, we just need to be, in our tradition, more aware, more cognizant of these God moments as he's bringing them about through the Holy Spirit. And I think that, for us, we maybe not see things then as ordinary as maybe we talk about. These are also powerful gifts. I think that's what Austin was saying, that it's not as visible in a very physical way, but it's to us very visible that God's working. And Paul even writes about that in Scripture, how oftentimes some of these very overt signs of the Spirit are actually signs for unbelievers to get their attention. God wants to say, like, well, there's real power at work here. Like, this is it. Like Pentecost. Like, whoa, we're hearing these guys talk in all these different languages. This isn't normal. What's going on? And God was doing something powerful at the outset to really get this movement going. And we see that sometimes we see in countries where there maybe is very limited Christian presence, and God will do something very overt, and suddenly you see something happening and people believing he works that. But these more subtle things for believers are meant to keep us in this journey of faith involved and excited that God's doing things. And something I thought of just this Sunday night, you were there, Austin, too, You might not have been able to see because you're up doing your work up top, but we had a family that was visiting with us and got a chance to talk with them a little bit after the service, and had never been with us before, I think just maybe in the area for a limited amount of time. And we were talking, we were in 2 Corinthians, and wonderful passage where Paul's talking about how God's the God of comfort and from his own experience. And he is saying, God's comforted me, so I can comfort you. And we said, yeah, what a wonderful thing. We've been through trials in our lives, and we can comfort others. And I was talking to this person, this mom, after the service, and she said, that really got my attention because she has been involved in a serious car accident and has some paralysis because of that. And she's just mentioned that, you know, along the way, I've now encountered other people who have gone through similar things. And I speak into that, you know, that, oh, well, there's improvements that'll happen. I've experienced them too. And she said, people did that when I was in the midst of it. And sometimes I didn't believe them, but she said, that really caught my attention. And to tie it in with the work of the Spirit, just kind of acknowledging in that moment, huh, it's really interesting that you were here tonight of all times.
Right.
When that came up, that was so relevant to you. I hope it was relevant for, you know, all of us there, but in this very particular case, we just need to acknowledge, like, hey, that's no mistake. The Spirit's at work here, you know, that you would hear that on this day, given your experience. God's working to draw us to him, to help see a picture of how we have gifts and purpose. So that, you know, being aware of those moments when, oh, what do you know? I just happened to run into this person who needed this, and I had it. Yeah, I mean, I have a friend work with he's an evangelist, just loves sharing the good news, right? And he's had some mission opportunities and had some recently where he was just sharing about, you know, incredible work of God. They're overseas doing some mission work and just praying. And just multiple times, right, when they finish that prayer in Jesus' name, just when they're praying about, here comes somebody up and like, hey, you know, and this is going on. The one time I think it was, hey, we need someone who can maybe help speak the language here. And they finished the prayer, and someone came up and talked to them in English and was like, hey, you guys, you know, you speak English? And they could speak the other language and connect, and that's the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is God working in that way. And, you know, it is, in the moment, you really see that, but it's not like, oh, there was a tongue of fire resting on their head.
Right.
Or, you know, this incredible, you know, someone, you know, rose up from being paralyzed at that moment. But these are the works of the Spirit. So to look for that, if you're at school, at work, with family, when you see these things, and to be looking, how's God leading? What's God doing here? And I think we see more and more, oh, he's always working. He's always doing things. That just excites us. And then I think when I'm really on it, then I'm looking more and more for the Holy Spirit and what he's doing. So I think it's a great encouragement, Austin. There are times, clearly, I think when the Spirit says, I'm going to do something overt right now. I have friends from this Reformed tradition, believe it or not, right, and pastors who I know of have experienced that, and God's worked that through them. You talked about the healing things. I know friends who are, you know, they're CRC pastors through and through, and not Pentecostals who are, you know, much more thinking this way, but they felt like, I need to lay hands and pray for this person, and God brought about healing in unexplainable ways from a medical standpoint. So, yeah, God sometimes says, and that's the whole point, listening to his leading. What is the Spirit saying? Peter and John went to the synagogue often, but that one time, for sure, you got to go by this guy, and now you're going to tell him to get up and walk. And they followed that leading, and Spirit did it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it's another big question, but just we need to, I think, be excited about some of the overt things that are happening and how God would use that, but also let's not miss the ways in our lives and in our church that he is working and doing incredible things. Let's not just chalk it up to coincidence or, oh, yeah, things happen in life. Let's be looking and talking in the language of the Spirit.
Absolutely. What can we be looking forward to this upcoming Sunday?
So this Sunday is Father's Day. Hard to believe. We're already getting to mid-June here. So we'll tie a little bit in with that. We're coming into summer here, so we're going to start a series of sermons here. We're going to go to Genesis here at the outset and God's provision there of coverings for Adam and Eve, really thinking about the clothing he gives to them that suddenly they're aware of they're naked, and God graciously provides. And just thinking about how for fathers in particular, I think men in general too, we have this, I think, God-made instinct. We want to provide and provide maybe for our families and do that and work in other ways, but our human efforts in that are off, just kind of like we talked about Babel. And you see that even in that text, like they try to clothe themselves, and it's not getting the job done. And so how do we do that based on God's provision for us and flowing out of his grace? And how do we show his character? So maybe think a little bit about that as we think about the text as a whole for fathers too. And how do we take this, I think, good way that God's made us be prone for, but live it out in God-like ways. So anyways, we'll see where the Lord leads that on Sunday.
Yeah, very excited. Well, thank you, Dan, for your time and your insight. Thanks to all of you who have joined us once again. We will see you next time.